साथ ये मेरी है
डॉली We're opening with a classic music video from the film Farz Bar Bar Din dot dot dot. The super hot Bollywood hits. Super hot. Beautiful body, totally rocking Bollywood hits, man. No, it's good shit, right? That's good stuff, right? If you go home with someone and you're not sure if they're gonna, you know, if you're not sure if you're gonna, what's gonna happen tonight, you're not sure and you're just sitting at home, instead of just creeping on them, be like, hey, I used to watch this when I was a kid. Just put the video on. Look, I'm not making any guarantees. I think your chances go up with a video like this. You go home and instead of just creeping on someone, just as soon as you get in the door, it's just instead of get in the door, okay, get a drink. Get them a drink, make sure they're comfortable, you know what I'm saying? Make sure they're feeling good, they're comfortable, they feel like, you know, safe or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Show them around. Gotta show them around a little bit. And then when it's like, okay, what do we do? Don't just be like, what are we doing? Don't do that. Put this on. You put this on, some good dance moves, maybe do some maybe try out the dance moves with them. You know what I'm saying? Maybe be like, let's try some of these dance moves out, right? And then if still nothing happens, well, then you got to say God is great and call it a night, baby. You got to say God is great and you got to call it a night. Because if this isn't going to do it, well, then, you know. I remember when I first started acting and stuff, oh, this is so sad. I remember early on when I started acting, I did some Indian Channel commercial for a psychic. Oh, my goodness. If someone could find that video. Oh, good. Dear Lord Almighty. That would be just so embarrassing, but so funny. I'm so glad I'm a comedian. You know, if I didn't become a comedian and I was like another kind of maybe act like a regular actor, like a super dramatic one, I would be like, oh, God, I hope that doesn't come out. Oh, I'm going to suppress it. No, dude, that would be so fun if that came out. Oh my God, the amount of weird shit I've acted in. When I was young, I acted in so much weird shit. I was in a karate movie, and they just had these sound, just like sound effects. It was so funny. That was funny, but it was like a Bollywood karate movie. But then I remember early, I played a guy getting married in one of these commercials for a psychic. Because the psychics, okay, basically, if you want to be an Indian psychic, it's all just how soon can you predict my kid's going to get married. That's the whole game, baby. That's the whole game. Done. I'm going to put up this board here. I can't, oh man, I wish I had it. I could look at it right now, but I'm going to put up this board here. And I remember it had this astrology sign. It's just out on the street on Girard. I forgot where it was from, but it just has all of the different things that this guy does, this psychic guy, and one of them was like, enemy problem. Enemy problem? Wow, dude. Are you a psychic or a hitman, dude? Is this guy... Why does he have enemy problem? Oh, damn, dude. That's intense. Okay, I don't know what kind of Indian psychic this guy is. Generally speaking, I'm just saying 80%... If you want to be a psychic to the Indian ladies, you gotta be able to bring those marriage predictions. That's 80% of the game. These Indian moms are walking in, and the guy's like, oh, I think you have some trouble with, maybe your son or daughter, son to the no marriage. And they'll just be like, wow. Dude, these Indian moms, they come home, and they're like, oh, you know everything. Dude, he knew about you, he knew that you weren't married, and then he knew about you, and that you did get married, but then maybe it's, and then he knew about you, he knew about everyone's, he knew. These psychics, man. That's the game, dude, that's the game. You know, you're in Canada, you're gonna go to a therapist, right? That's their therapist. That's their therapist. Okay, just take away the psychic title, and it's basically them going into someone, and the other person being like, hey, you're worried about your kid not being married, right? And then the parents are like, yeah, what am I going to do? And then the psychic's like, you know what? Within a year or two, he'll figure it out. And then they're like, oh, But first, you have to win their trust, and you win their trust by being like, "You have something about this son, is it married?" And that's as soon as you start saying marriage, like, I mean, look, that's 80% of the game, dude. That's 80% of the game. It's so funny how this week, some troll. Oh my God, what a monster! I remember when Nicole Arbour came out, people were like, if Nicole Arbour was a fucking four, would anyone listen to her? And now we have our answer, dude. There's a new Canadian girl, and she just dropped a bomb in the Toronto stand-up scene where she went into the scene. Oh, my God. She goes in, and she goes, "Hey, I'm booking a show, looking for comics who are not talking about..." And one of the things she didn't want them to talk about was dating. And I found that interesting. She's like, it's someone who doesn't talk about race or doesn't talk about I don't know. She made it sound like it was like very progressive. But then it was, I don't think it was progressive at all. I think it was just like, so basically she put up this thing in the Toronto stand-up community saying, hey, like making it sound like she's a booker. She's booking a paid comedy show. And then all these people sent their tapes. Thank God I wasn't online. But all these people sent their tapes. And then she just made a video of her watching their tapes and saying, "Wow, this guy sucks." It's just her. Oh, sociopath. Can you not be a sociopath? What weird power moves to pull. You know, sometimes I wonder, and then me and my friend Jennifer made a response video, and I feel like half the comics are like, "Why'd you respond to this loser?" And then half the comics are like, "Yeah, it was funny though." I mean, I don't know. It's really 50-50 on that. They don't get that this is the game, baby. We just got to get on here and talk shit. And if it's funny, it's fucking funny, baby. And to me, that's hilarious, though. Like, okay, yeah, she's a sociopath. What a terrible thing to do. And what a small-time move to do. But funny. Like, we're not, look, come on. The game is the game, baby. We got to say, like, look, that's a tight move. She dropped a tight move. She basically did a roast. But she just put the video, are Toronto comics even funny? And then she watched it's an hour and 8 minutes. Are you crazy, lady? She just puts up, and she's just looks like such a monster, too. She's wearing this, I don't know if they're in again, but it just looks like this 1980s Kmart red jacket. Which part of me is like, that's probably tight because it's red, but then she has like quadruple shoulder pads on it. So she just looks like she's ready to beat the shit out of us if we talk shit about her. And then her other partner, he's a wrestler. And once I saw that, I was like, you know what, man? I don't know if I need to put out another diss video about these guys. It's terrifying. I'm already doing diss videos on all these right-wing people, and that's terrifying. I just did a video about this new Rebel Media reporter this morning. And Rebel Media is like a super right-wing kind of Canadian Fox News. But they're fucking, racist, man. Every other video, it's like 30%. And the thing is, okay, I'm going to say 30%. Because the thing with conservatives is that they're always morally outraged about shit. And it's just nonstop like, okay, well, let's see what the Muslims did. Let's see what the gays did. It's either like dissing that or trans, like anti-abortion stuff. Like that's most of their stuff. It's like the culture is destroyed because the liberals aren't standing up to the Muslims. It's always stuff like that. I mean, that's just, and I'm generalizing. Listen, I don't want to turn you off if you're a conservative. Listen, I want to bring the culture together, people. I'm trying to bring the culture together. I'm trying to bring the community together. So even my diss videos, I'm not like angry about it. Relax. The game is the game, baby. I thought she did a good hit. It was a good little hit. It's funny. Like, look, I'm not even dissing her like, "Ugh, I hate you." They're so like that, though. He's a wrestler, and she's just so mean. Like, me and Jennifer did a video just responding to her video. I'm talking about the girl who came into the Toronto stand-up comedy scene and did her diss video. So she does an hour and 8 minute long diss video. And then I just went to Jennifer's house, who's a comic who lives down the street in a fucking mansion. Holy shit, this girl's loaded, dude. Okay, I'm going to go on a quick side tangent about Jennifer, this comic that just moved to Toronto from China. Oh my God, dude. What a life. We're talking about high functioning, and it scares the shit out of me that she's so high functioning and her husband is so high functioning. Like they live in these, they live in a mansion. Three. Okay, this is how this is what I mean. Where I'm just like, what can we ever be happy in this life? Can we ever be happy in this life? And this is what I mean, because this girl Jennifer, she's okay. She's three kids in a mansion. She was on TV over there. Her husband is like the head of some Olympic shit, like just high level shit. Just a high-level power couple, these two, right? Every other conversation I have with her is like, does this person like me? Does this person like me? I emailed this person for a spot on their stand-up comedy show, but they haven't emailed me. And I'm just like, all of those people are losers, Jennifer. Why do you care? Jennifer, why do you care? You have three kid, beautiful babies at home that love you no matter what. And a mansion, dude. This is the room that we shot in. And then those, so this is our diss response video that we shot. This is where we shot it. It's, listen, she's fucking loaded, right? Like that's just some bullshit room. And that's just a shot that I did really quick and I shot it on my cell phone and I shot it with this sound equipment that we just had, that I just happened to have on me. But it was like a quick one. Cause I woke up. So this is what I mean with Jennifer. It's like, you have everything. How can you possibly be mad that this loser, that these two losers did a diss video? Like, do you really care about this? But I wake up and she's like so mad because she cares about shit. Because she's one. Okay, so when the girl put up the thing saying, hey, I'm a booker, and like making it sound like she was a booker in Toronto and like send me your tapes, whatever. All these people send tapes. Jennifer sent a tape. And Jennifer's one of the people that she roasted on her dumb fucking show. And everyone else in Toronto is like, who cares? But Jennifer's like, I can't believe she did this to me. This is the online game. But she is making me realize, because I was on this kids' TV show for a minute. And then I did Just for Laughs. And I got some success for a minute. And I did realize that I guess I'm getting apathetic. You know what I'm saying? And that's why we got to work on this Amish Patel Comedy Corporation. God damn it. Sit up straight. Let me just get a little protein out of here. Oh my God. It's baby food. That's how much fruit, like I put so much frozen fruit. I go to the fucking line, frozen fruit up to here. And then I put egg white and I put my vegan protein powder because I can't do milk anymore.
I'm getting old man. I'm a getting old man. I can't shit, man.
Yeah, that's my protein shake. And it's like baby food. Dude, it's so thick. I put so much frozen stuff in it that it just comes out like ice cream / baby food. It's so good. It's so delicious. And then my buddy goes and does this health expo thing. And you know how there's like, if you ask five health experts, they're all like, you can never eat wheat. Don't ever eat wheat again. And then someone else is like, sugar? Forget it. So I guess he's doing this thing. And the person on the panel is like, if you're eating fruit, just eat a candy. You're eating us. Are you having fruit? Well, then just put five Coca-Colas in your mouth. Sugar, I don't care. And that's it. This guy had like a no sugar ever kind of a stance. And he's like one of these health experts. So my buddy went to shoot my business partner here at the Kenwood Self-Tames. My business partner went to shoot a thing. And he had to shoot this panelist of like five health experts. And then each of them was like, don't ever eat this. Don't ever eat this. Don't ever. And so basically by the end, dude, you can't eat. What are we doing? You can't eat. It is interesting, though, that the number one thing that's going to kill us right now is that we eat too much. Isn't that such a great life that we have? What a beautiful life that we have. I was watching this Yuval Harari, the writer of Sapiens. I was watching his thing and his Google Talks. And I love his accent. I'm just going to make up an accent for him, though, because I can't even remember what it was, but I love it. But he basically just sounds like the smartest person. He basically sounds like the smartest person in the world. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like 10 years ago, the smartest person was British, but we've upgraded from that. Now you got to have kind of like a talk. What we are finding is the people are now in the number one cause of death 500 years ago. I'm not even doing it right. I'm not even doing it accurate. Don't listen to that and then listen to him and be like, that's not accurate. I'm just making up a voice for him. Super racist. Super racist. My bad on that. I just like doing that, though. I just like making up people's accents. It's actually better than nailing it. Like, you either want to nail the accent Or you want to just go, just do something silly and be like, hey, this is me doing Yuval Yahari, the writer of Sapiens. This is me doing Harari, the writer of Sapiens. What we are finding now is a people 500 years ago were dying from, because not enough food. Today we find, today people dying from too much food. Wow. And it's just like five things like that. I just make everyone Middle Eastern. It's an issue. So sad, though, that this Notre Dame, when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, guys, that's so sad that it's burning down like that. It's intense, man. It's heavy on fire because it's the scaffolding was on fire. Oh no, guys, that's too sad, man. I'm really sorry, guys, and God is great, but immediately when I saw that, and I hope no one got hurt in it, but immediately when I saw that, I was like, I just pictured two, like, Turkish construction workers, and one of them is having a cigarette, and then the other one's like, no, no, brezer, no, brezer, what you are doing? No, no cigarette. It would just be funny if the other guy's like, brezer, brezer, God make us free people, brezer. God make us free people. Don't worry. Don't worry, brezer. And then, sorry, guys. I'm really sorry about that. My brain thought of it, and we have a very strict corporate mandate to bring these laughs to market. You know what I'm saying? So my brain thought of that, those two characters. And then it made me laugh, and, you know, it just wouldn't be right if I didn't bring it to market and just kept that laugh for myself. It wouldn't be right if I just didn't bring that to market. So I don't want to disrespect the people who are working there or anything like that. I'm really sorry about that, guys. Let's move on, huh? Oh, it's so gorgeous, though, that Notre Dame. That I was talking, like, two episodes ago about European architecture. Oh, so gorgeous, dude. If you're from Toronto, the first time you go to Europe, you just feel like such a loser, dude. What? Oh my, you're looking at these European buildings covered in gold, diamonds, gorgeous architecture, detail. And then you're like, oh, what do we have in Canada? A dick. We have a cock in the sky. That's Canada. That's the architecture we got. We got a big old dick in the sky. It's like, that's your building? Oh, but it's the tallest. Actually, it's not anymore. Fuck. Okay, no, that's fine. That's fine. We're good people. I like Canada. I love Canada. We're good people, dude. It actually shows you how nice we are. It shows you how nice we are because we're just, I feel like we're the kind of people in Canada that's like, okay, should we go conquer someone and then take their shit? And I feel like Canadians, it's, okay, it's easy to say when you came later in the game, but even when you watch all this old colonial history, because the Brits were mean, and then Canada and Australia were like, hey, should we help them? World War II, Churchill hated Indian people. He put down so many rebellions. Like, he really believed, like, these people are below us and they must be conquered. During World War II, he just purposely starved 5 million people. I really should get numbers like this correct when I do a podcast, but you know what I'm saying. At least 2 million. He just starved them for no reason in India, and it was during World War II. And I guess that was his excuse. But even when he was doing shit like that, Canada, Australia, they were like, hey, we can just send him food. We got food, dude. Hey, dude. We got food, dude. Come on. It really does. When you watch too many colonial documentaries, it really feels like England was mummy. And then the Dominions were like the two baby boys. And then India was like that adopted kid. You know what I'm saying? India was the adopted kid, and it's interesting, like, even in a white family, when you adopt a kid, and it's like, if you're a white family and you adopt an Indian kid or a black kid, I'm sure there is something special that the siblings have that maybe one of the parents is kind of like, I didn't want to take this kid, you know, maybe, I don't know, does feel like that with Canada anyway. I mean, I've heard Australia is pretty rough. Racism-wise. But I do feel like Canada, we are the best at that. At multiculturalism, we're the best. It's working. It is working. And it's working better than anywhere. And we don't even tell people. We're such nice people in Canada. We don't even tell people that, like, hey, you know it's working here. We don't even tell them. We're so nice. Even with healthcare, I feel bad about Americans because it's like, hey, can you not be, like, fucking losers with no healthcare over there? Can you just not be losers? It's working. It's working here. It's working in Europe. But they have anti-propaganda. And they've been doing it since the 60s. They do this, and it's all anti-communist propaganda. But the anti-communist propaganda was used to not only fund the military-industrial complex. Wow, I sound like a conspiracy theorist right now. I sound like a conspiracy theorist right now, especially because I jumped around so much. But basically, it really does feel like propaganda from rich people who don't want to pay for social programs. You know what I'm saying? And also propaganda from rich people who want to build 5,000 bases around Russia. This is right after World War II. I mean, looking back, it feels like, were these Russians gonna come, dude? This is why the Americans don't have good things. Every time they want something good, they're like, oh, if we do something nice, then we're gonna be communist. Done. Case closed. It is interesting how I always end up talking about shit like this. But here's the thing, okay? We got to tell them that how good it is, right? As Canadians, we got to be like, hey, idiots, we got healthcare. It's fine. Relax. You're spending more money. You're not covering everyone. So don't be an idiot. And just do the healthcare. Come on. They're so alarmist about it. They're so terrified that these, the communists are coming. The commies. Ah, you're a socialist. You're going to suck off the government teat with your socialism. Okay, but the corporations do it. Oh, clap back. I feel like I lost all the conservatives maybe by now. Listen, I used to be conservative. We're trying to bring the people together, guys. Come on. We're trying to bring the people together. Listen to an alternative viewpoint. There's a story about I was at an audition. This is actually a good, valuable lesson for actors. So this will be an acting masterclass segment, which is one of the segments we do at the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation. I've been doing too much political stuff. It's too much. This fighting, it's too much, man. I just want to do silly stuff. It's fun. This silly stuff, great. You know? But then I can't even help it. Sometimes I just jump out into a tangent into politics. It's ridiculous. Okay, so I was at an audition. Oh, you ever meet these people that just, they want to do a monologue in real life? You know what I'm saying? You ever meet these people that in real life they want to do a monologue? And they're basically kind of walking around, setting themselves up to do a bit of a monologue in real life, though. And look, most people don't do it, but I think more actors and performers, I think most people, if they're having a stressful day, they might try to do, they're basically, by mistake, you're basically living through a monologue all day, you know? And that's why, like, when people get into a fight, you know when people get into a fight and with, you know, let's just say you get into a fight with someone you're dating or whatever, and then you got into the fight yesterday night, and now I'm talking to you next day at like 3 o'clock. So next day at 3 o'clock, I'm talking to you, and then you tell me about this fight. But have you ever heard someone do in that situation? Someone tells you about the fight they got in, but as they're telling you, you realize you didn't even like. Okay, they came from work, let's say. So let's just say they got into a fight last night, and then they went to work, and then you saw them at like 3 o'clock, let's say, for whatever reason. Okay. You see them at 3, and then they start telling you about this fight they got into. They're like, oh, I just came from work, and they tell you about this fight they got into. And then as soon as they start telling you about the fight, you're like, okay, this is what they've been doing since yesterday. They went to work, technically, but the brain operating system has been just strictly working on comebacks for a monologue to the fight they got into last night. That's all they're doing. And they're just thinking, all they've done all day is think about the fight that they got into. And sometimes when people do that, I'm like, you know, you could have done your taxes, dude. When we get into these fights with each other, I'm always like, you know, you could have done your taxes. Because here's the thing, right, about being mad is that it's a lot of work, right? That's why this outrage culture is so scary, because outrage culture right now, it's almost like one person outrages the other. They want to outrage each other. Like, sometimes people want to put out a thing that outrages people. And then when people get outraged, they'll get outraged that they got outraged. It's a Ponzi scheme. No money coming in. No money coming in, guys. But the gears are grinding. Gears have been grinding all day. If you get into a fight like that, it's basically like, look, the gears are grinding all day. Gears are grinding all day. But you didn't get any work. Nothing productive has happened. All you've done the whole day is just think about this fight that you got into, and you're just writing a monologue in your head. And you're not even a screenwriter. You're not even a writer. All you've done is just think of monologues all day. Think of little comebacks that you can do. And the gears have been grinding, and you could have done your taxes, is what I'm saying. You could have done your taxes. In fact, I think doing your taxes, it would have been less brain power spent. Because when you get into a fight, when you're mad, you're outraged a little bit, then the whole day, dude, it's like, man, 5 hours? You just spent 5 hours coming up with comebacks. You just spent 5 hours working on your monologue. You know what I'm saying? I feel like actors maybe do this more than regular people, but I was at an audition last year, and this guy comes in, and he's doing this thing where, okay, he's like 50 years old, and he just wants to tell us, he basically makes up an excuse to tell everyone that he's auditioning for a Kiefer Sutherland show. So what he does is he comes in, and he's like, hey, is it okay if I go earlier, because I have an audition with Kiefer Sutherland? I mean, I have an audition in the what? It started with, like, I have an audition for the TV show that Kiefer Sutherland is on. And then it became, I have an audition, and it's a scene with Kiefer Sutherland. And then it became, I have to go meet Kiefer Sutherland. Really, he had a line probably with Kiefer. I'm going to say Kiefer for the rest of this, just to keep it simple. He probably had a line, okay? Or maybe he had two or three lines, whatever, dude. But he's basically like, I was like, do you really need to get over there? Or do you just want to tell everyone that you got a thing with Kiefer? Because either way, unprofesh, dude. And super obvious. And can you not be so excited, dude? We all did a thing with Kiefer. I mean, look, he's a national treasure. We love him. No, I'm not dissing Kiefs. But if you're in the game, be a profesh and be in the fucking game, dude. You know, and this is really the acting masterclass lesson of the day. You got to learn how to do your name drops, man. You got to learn how to do your name drops. And I know that sounds like a lot coming from me, because I made this poster because last year I was an Emmy nomination applicant. And I went to Just for Laughs and, you know, development deal with Kevin Hart, no big deal. Just had a meeting with CBC and CTV last week about a sitcom. No big deal. But do you see how I did it? I did it in a way that I'm joking. I did it in a way that I'm being a goof about it. And then it's a bit of a comedy loophole that we get to have, but it's a bit of a loophole that I have that, look, that's the only way you can name drop. Because any other name dropping, if you name drop and you're serious about that, and you're like, I'm working with Kiefer Sutherland. If you start doing that, you're basically, I mean, what? Is your first rodeo, bro? Your first time at the rodeo, dude? Really? You're going to tell it? Dude, he just came in and he just, every single person, and he was doing that whisper where it's like a whisper, but a whisper that the whole room can hear. It's basically, he was whisper acting. He was acting. Look, the acting was maybe kind of tight, actually, if I can say that about this guy, because he's a 50-year-old actor, and his acting was pretty good because he really made it seem genuine that like, hey, excuse me, is it okay if I, so it started with, hey, I'm auditioning for the TV show. It's one with Kiefer Sutherland. Can I go earlier? Is it okay if I go first? Okay. Excuse me. I have an audition in the West End. It's with, not supposed to tell anyone, Kiefer Sutherland. Not supposed to tell anyone. But can I go early? Can I go before? Thank you. Excuse me. Audition with Kiefer. I'm doing a movie with Kiefer. I have a meeting with Kiefer Sutherland. Can I go before you? It's really important. And she's like, it's like, dude, you're whisper yelling, first of all. I don't know what this whisper is you're doing, because we can all hear the stupid whisper, right? So he's doing this whisper yell. We can all hear him. So already, it's like, dude, your name drop is kind of weird, because you're trying to work it into this weird thing. And also, there's a system in place, guys. There's a system in place. Just talk to the person who's running the casting session and be like, hey, is it cool if I go earlier? Because I got to get to another audition. Just say you're going to another audition. Okay? I get it. You just want to tell everyone that you have a thing with Kiefer, but come on, just relax. Guys, give money to the Misha Patel Comedy Corporation. For fuck's sakes, we're looking for investors right now. Give money. I mean, honestly, invest in the laughs, guys. Also, hey, if you need a self-tape, if you're an actor in Toronto and you need a self-tape, come to Kenwood Self-Tapes. We got some big, big Toronto hitters coming in, flying around the world because they book stuff from Kenwood Self-Tapes. Have I booked anything huge? No. Have I? Is Amish getting some big, big parts from the Kenwood? No. But that's the game, guys. The game is the game, okay? And these people that are coming in, they're ahead of me, and they're very pro, and they are ahead of me, man, honestly. Like, you do realize as a comic, you book one thing in acting, and it's not like everyone's like, oh, okay, cool, you're an actor now. It's not like that. Even a lot of casting directors, I feel, are kind of weird with me still, you know? There's casting directors that my agent has to be like, I had to ask her like 4 times to see you. And I'm like, Jesus. I'm an Emmy nomination applicant. You know what happens when you're early in your career? They see you being shitty, and then later they don't want to. They're like, this guy's an idiot. I don't want to bring him in. But it's like, come on, guys. I'm teaching an acting masterclass here. You know, I mean, it's not really an acting masterclass. It's just like a joke. It's a comedy thing about my experiences as an actor. But I think I'm passing on some real lessons here. We're passing on some real lessons. So yeah, if you're, hey, and by the way, if you're watching this and you're in the game, share it with someone else who's also in the game, my darlings. Pass it around. You know what I'm saying? Let the people know. I think there's a real lesson coming in this. And if it's not a lesson, I mean, it's a pretty entertaining story. It's pretty funny where I'm going to take it at the end. It's pretty funny. Yeah, because this guy, so we're at the audition. Let me get back to the story. Let's continue the story. Did my ads. Support the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation. Laughsitup.com, patreon.com/laughsitup. Also, get a self-tape. Kenwood self-tape. Facebook.com/Kenwood self-tapes. Book a self-tape. Our self-tapes are really the tightest, the hottest in the game. Honestly. Like, they're gorgeous. They're gorgeous. And we read with you. Honestly, we should be raising our prices and stuff like that. But self-tapes are gorgeous. We read with you. I'm an Emmy nomination applicant. Like I said, my roommate's a TIFF applicant, filmmaker. But no, we've shot short films together, and he's kind of a producer director kind of guy. So come by, especially if you're in the area. It's pretty much a no brainer. I mean, it's pretty much a no brainer if you're in the area. But people are coming in. People are driving in to do tapes with us, and people are booking. And then their agents and the casting directors are like, hey, go to those guys. They're tight. Like, people are starting to really be like, oh, their studio is really gorgeous. So our studio is beautiful. And I'll put up a shot of it. It's really gorgeous. Anyway, let me get back to the story. So I'm at this audition, and this dude, this like 50-year-old guy, he's bragging about Kiefer Sutherland. He's not bragging, but it's like low key. Like, he tells he's like, excuse me, is it okay if I go for? Excuse me, I have an audition. I have a meeting with Kiefer Sutherland. I have an audition with Kiefer Sutherland. Kiefer Sutherland wants to put me in his movie, please. So can I? Is it okay if I go early and then I leave early? Is that okay? He asks literally everyone. Nobody, because we're all good. We're all good Canadians, so we're all just like, yeah, sure, dude, whatever, man, go ahead. So then we all say that. What does one lady do? One lady, just before he even asks her, he's asked everyone else, and as he's getting to her, she's watching him. She's watching him, and she's getting fed up. And then as he gets to her, she's like, I'll go at my time. Thank you. She just clapped back, dude. Nah. She just basically said, nah. Nope. Yeah, and she didn't even say, hey, I have an audition too. That's what was so, I really respected this lady. Because she didn't even say, I have an audition too. She basically just said, I've been waiting, and your time's not more important than my time, and I'm going to go at my time. Thank you. She did one of those, dude. She did a hard, thank you. You're not more special than me, and you're not more valuable than me, and I'll go at my allocated time. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. She did one of those, and you got to respect it, dude. Nobody else had it in them. Nobody else had it in us, I should say. I didn't. I was just like, yeah, sure, dude, go ahead, whatever. I thought it was a little fishy, this whole, like, okay, it was weird that he's just name-dropping this Kiefer Sutherland. It's a little relaxed, dude. Anyway, so he does his audition. He comes out. This is what made me say, okay, I gotta do the video. I gotta do the story about this guy. So he does the audition, he comes out, and then he's just fucking hanging out. That's the worst, man. He just gave everyone this dumbass monologue. Basically, I gotta go work with Kiefer, and then he's just chilling the fuck out after the audition. And then you know what he does? I swear to God, he spilled water on his crotch on purpose so he could do this dumbass bit where he goes like this. This is what he's doing. He's doing like this. He's like, hey, did I spill water or is that my tinkle? Ah! He's trying to do this bit. He's basically doing this bit where he's like, this is how the bit was. It was kind of like that old Louis C.K. bit where he's talking about how his asshole doesn't work well anymore. But the way this guy did it is he's like, is that water or did a little bit of tinkle come back out? Because at my age, doesn't work too good. So you get a little tinkle and then you get a little tinkle after the tinkle. Ah! And he was doing that. He was doing this like bit, basically. He's just doing this, like, I guess he's adding, this is the comedic portion of his monologue. this is a comedic portion of his monologue, and I started laughing. Dude, there's like a 20-year-old, and he's just like just putting his crotch in front of, like, hey, is that a, you think I spilled water on myself, or you think that's a little tinkle? Because at my age, you get a little tinkle after the tinkle. Ah! He was doing this bit, and I'm like, and I started laughing. Dude, there's like a 20-year-old. And you know how 20-year-olds look like they're 15? But she was probably just 20. But still, dude, he's like just like extending his crotch and like, hey, what do you think? What do you think that is? He's doing this to everyone. On his way out, instead of fucking leaving to his dumbass audition. So he's doing this in front of everyone. And then, but here's the worst. This is why I laugh, though. You know, and I just want to say this for anyone who's in the room, because nobody was laughing at this bit. No, every single person was like, okay. Everyone was like, what? Are you, like, don't you have to go? Like, people were like, why are you still here? Whatever, right? But I laughed, and I feel like an idiot for laughing, because people even looked at me when I laughed, like, what are you laughing at? I just want everyone to know that I wasn't laughing at his bit. I was laughing because in my head, I pictured... I wish there was another comic in the audition room, because I was picturing in my head, like, another comic was sitting there, and I was picturing looking at the other comic and being like, oh, he's doing a bit. Oh, we're doing bits, dude. Did you sign up for the open mic? There's an open mic after the audition, and we're all going to do a tight 5-minute bit. I thought that was so funny in my head. I thought it was so funny in my head that I pictured some other comics that I know that if they were there, I could have looked over and be like, oh, we're doing bits. We're doing bits after the thing. And I just knew that if I said it so deadpan to them, like, hey, he's doing a bit. He's doing a bit. Did you know that there's an open mic after the audition? You can sign up for an open mic. You can do a type 5. I signed up. I was going to do it like that, like very deadpan to another comedian. And I could just see that another comedian would have thought that was quite hilarious. I've done it in real life where people in real life, because if you're a comic, it's like, okay, we're writing bits professionally, but then every now and then you meet someone in real life who just wants in real life to do like a little bit, like a little monologue. And then if there's another comic there, you just go, oh, he's doing a bit. This guy's doing a bit. He's doing a bit. Like, I'll do that to another comic, and then they die. I've done that to some comics, and then they die, okay? So I know that that's funny. Wow, got a little defensive there at the end. Anyway, that's today's acting masterclass, guys. It's more of an acting masterclass etiquette. It's an audition room etiquette. Audition room etiquette. Listen, okay, fine. If you're in a rush, fine. Just talk to the person running the audition. We have a system for this. I hate when there's a system in place and then someone tries to be extra and make up another system. It's like, dude, we have a system in place for this. If you want to get in and out early, you talk to the person running the audition. The person running the audition will make one announcement saying, hey, is anyone in a rush? Is it okay if I put one person ahead of you guys? Cool. Done. That's the system that we're all operating under. You don't need to come in and be like, hey, I have a thing with Kiefer. Hey, I have a thing with Kiefer. Hey, I have a thing with Kiefer. Hey, me and Kiefer. Hey, I got to suck Kiefer's dick. Can you stop it, dude? Relax. Dude, this guy went from, like, I have an audition with Kiefer Sutherland to I'm going to go bang Kiefer Sutherland in his butt. Basically. Like, that's the attitude he was saying it with. He was acting like he just got a booty call from Kiefer Sutherland, and Kiefer Sutherland was the bottom. That's rude, because it makes it sound like the bottom is worse. I've heard that actually bottoms are better. Being bottom is better. So I just want to be clear on that. I think we're at the end of the episode, guys. This is a acting masterclass with your host, Amish Patel. And today we have covered a very important lesson, a little bit of etiquette in the audition room. You know what I'm saying? Just a little bit of etiquette on how to act right in the audition room. Okay, if you want to go in earlier before people, talk to the person. Okay? Talk to the person running the audition. You don't need to tell everyone that you got a thing with Kiefer, okay? You don't need to tell everyone that you got a thing with Kiefer. Just relax, baby. And also, if you're 50, don't name drop Kiefer. That's the other lesson of the day. Learn how to name drop, which is don't name drop. Unless you're a comedian and you can do it as a joke. Like, you have to do it as a joke, like you're making fun of a loser who would name drop. That's what a name drop is. Because here's the thing with name dropping. And I know I do it a lot. And I know I've done it like 5 times. But here's the thing with name dropping, okay? here's the issue that I have with it, with when other people do it. When I do it, I think it's hilarious and maybe a little obnoxious, but it is funny. It's silly. But I think my problem with other people name dropping is when other people name drop, they name drop in a way that it's like what you're kind of telling people is that you don't got it in here, baby. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is really a lesson in believing in yourself, goddammit. You gotta believe in yourself. God is great and God make us great, my darlings. Even if you don't have fucking any credits under your belt, it's great, dude. I'm sure you're fantastic. Don't even be like that. You know what I'm saying? Don't sit there thinking, you know, oh man, what have I booked? Don't worry about it, my darlings. Yeah, no, am I an Emmy nomination applicant because I played a dad on a kid's TV show, 5 seasons in a movie? Yeah, sure, yeah, that's me, but that doesn't mean that in God's eyes I'm not better than you. Okay, I'm not going to sit here and name drop in this arrogant way that's like, I'm so much better. It's like a joke name drop. I just feel like some people name drop and I want to be like, hey, baby, believe in yourself, okay? It's okay. It's really in how, the tone and how you say it, because some people name drop and I just want to be like, it's okay. It's okay. You're doing, you know what? You're great just the way the Lord made you. I just want to say that to them sometimes. I just want to be like, are you okay though? You're good just the way the Lord made you. You don't need to tell everyone all the time your credits. Just be cool, man. Just be cool to hang out with. I'm telling you, even for networking, that's the big thing, man. I mean, I guess it's 50-50 because in sales, and I do want to make sure that I don't say any wrong information in this acting masterclass because technically I'm not an acting coach. Technically, no, but I have been here forever and I can just tell because sometimes I talk to 20-year-olds and they're so scared and they're so nervous and they need someone to just be like, hey, it's cool. Don't worry about it. And that might be true for acting and it might be true for life. And sometimes I feel like that's what these podcasts are. It's just old fucks talking to young fucks and being like, hey, man, it's cool. I did all that stuff. Okay? Here's a couple of here's what you should do. And here's some psychological tricks to make the process kind of fun, kind of silly. I feel like that's kind of what we do as podcasters, especially as comedians, obviously, but I feel like as podcast and like radio hosts, your job is to be like, okay, I'm old and I went through all that already, so I'm just going to tell you, here's how to just chill out and have a little less anxiety. Just chill, baby. You don't need to name drop. It's so goofy when you name drop. And I'm talking about, look, and again, I'm doing, it just sounds like I'm really, because I do it a lot in the videos, but in real life, let me just tell you a quick story about in real life. Okay, let me end it with this. Because in real life, I remember when I first booked this kid's TV show that I'm on, and I would tell people that I play a dad on a kid's TV show, and I remember it was the biggest turnoff. I just want to say that. Because I'd be out at a bar, and I'd tell, and literally, like, you tell someone something like that, and it just makes, you think that the waterworks are turning on down there. For these ladies, you think that the water that you tell them, oh, I'm on TV, and it just goes, they're going, right? But it's actually the opposite, because actually what you've done when you say, hey, I'm on a TV show, because what you've done when you say, hey, I'm on TV, when you do that, what you're basically doing is you're, I don't know, some part of you is kind of saying, I'm not good enough who I am. Just me standing here, like, that's how you got to talk to people. You got to talk to people like, just, I have worth, my darling. I kill it. And then if they ask you, then you got to tell them your credits. But when you're just in the middle of a conversation, when you name drop all the time, and when you tell people, like, oh, I did this, and I did this, and then every single thing you want to talk about is like, how do I get on this, and who do I talk to about this? It just makes you look like... like you want to take something and you want to prove yourself. And I just feel like real good, like proper networking is not about going up to people and saying, here's how great I am, here's how great I am, here's how great I am. Good networking, from what I've heard from all these business things, is about, a little bit it's about telling them how great they are, right? Because a little bit what happens is you tell people how great you are and then other people kind of go, oh, man, I want to just go home and get to work on some shit. You know what I mean? Like, you, there's some people who name drop so much that the people they're talking to are like, man, what am I doing with my life? You know, they kind of have that feeling. But I think good networking is like making friends, man. You know, you don't make a friend because, like, look how great I am, look what I did. You make a friend because you're just cool to hang with, baby. You're cool to hang with. And then when you tell them I've been on this and this, it's like, oh, cool. It's a nice little bonus. It's a nice little bonus. That's what it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be you open the conversation with, oh, hey, I'm on TV. That's too much in conversation. But if you got a podcast, then you kind of have to do it. And if you're a comedian, you can pull it off the way I'm doing it. So that's okay. Anyway, that's the end of the episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. My name is Amish Patel. I love you. And God is great. God is great. Okay. My name is Amish Patel. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that. My name is Amish Patel, CEO of the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation. I love you. And God is great. God is great. Put your hands up! My darlings, thank you for consuming this social media content from the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation. My name is Amish Patel, CEO of the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation. And listen, if you're still watching this, you must really be in love with me. Or else, what are you doing here? It's the internet. You could be watching anything. You could be watching anything. But you're here. You love it. So why don't you just go ahead and subscribe, okay? Hit the bell button too, and then they'll let you know when I got more bits coming out. And I'll tell you this, I got bits. I'm sitting on bits, guys. So many bits. I'm overstocked on bits, and I am working hard to bring them to market for your consumption. So subscribe to the channel. Also, if you want to watch a bit right now, you can. There's a bit right. You can click on the box right below me. That's a bit. You can click on me. It'll take you to a secret bit. Or you can go to laughsareup.com. You can listen to the full podcast where these bits are cut out of. You can join the mailing list. You can you'll be notified of live stand-up comedy shows coming to your area. And you can learn about all of the investment opportunities at the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation. To do that, go to laughsareup.com or keep getting the bits or subscribe to make sure you keep getting future bits. Or, you know what? Share the video then, too. If you're still here, I mean, what are you doing? You should be working for me at this point. I mean, at this point, you're an investor. Time is money. You spent your time. You're an investor. And if you look at our business model over here, you'll see at the top, social media bits. That's what we're watching right now. That's at the top. But if you follow it all the way to the bottom, do you see on that ground floor? It says fans and investors. That's you, guys. You are at the ground floor of a very exciting business opportunity here at the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation. So, like I said, go to laughsareup.com, join the mailing list, listen to the full podcast. I think I said everything. That's all the stuff I got to say. Okay? God is great.